time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
Yes, this is Damian Lemon.
Yes, this is Ali Muhammad.
Yes, this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
Here
yes.
We are back. Yeah, it is. Oh, shit, man. We back in the ear canal. It is re-entry is in the air, you know. Social anxiety is on a high, but we in this bitch here to talk our shit. And, you know.
Sound like you've been outside.
Ooh. Not anymore that I have been for the most part, but I feel it when I'm out there. I see the outside coming back, you know, like it's definitely becoming more and more robust with the energy of the people. You know, it's plain as day. I see that shit. And it's, yeah. You know, shit. Fucking Memorial Day is coming up next Monday. That's the kickoff of the summer, but the way these mosquitoes lit my ass up the other day, I think summer has already begun.
Everybody out.
Yeah, everybody out. The mosquitoes was like, yeah, motherfucker, we back, pussy. You know what I mean? We back.
We're getting it back in blood, shit.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Getting what they was owed. Exactly. Like, they took a year off. That shit felt like I got jumped into a gang. It felt personal. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, shit gave me PTSD. The last few days, I've been real nervous about going to sleep, putting on mad long shit. It'd be too hot for it, too. And I'm in that bitch with some fucking lounge pants, some long sleeve shirts. Oh, shit, because they got at the kid, man. It was terrible. It was terrible. Oh, man. And, but, yeah. See,
the mosquitoes have been getting smarter over the last few years, I've noticed. The mosquitoes getting smarter and the flies getting dumber.
Really?
Yeah, what's I mean, as far as in Brooklyn.
Okay. it's a burrow thing.
The flies moving slower, they're easier to, you know what I'm saying? Usually flies are very elusive. You got to get into your ninja situation. Mm-hmm.
But Mr. Miyagi.
The flies been moving a little slower, but the mosquitoes, they moving a lot smarter. Like, yeah. not this summer, not the pandemic summer, but the summer before that. Mm-hmm. We had some mosquitoes in the house for whatever reason, and they chose their perfect times to attack. They went around all day, but when you go to bed,
oh yeah,
they on you, right? To the point where they come and like you could hear them buzzing about, like oh yeah. Fuck. So you like you ball up in the conference sheet, get all up under it. You know, you think you good,
yeah.
And then you wake up in the morning and they ate your ass up. But they didn't eat you up in your typical locations. You know what I'm saying? Usually it's your wrist, your arm, your hand that's sticking out the cover, maybe on your neck or some shit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. These motherfuckers, I don't even know how they got in the covers. Maybe I slipped and left a crack or whatever, but they knew.
Right.
And they went directly to the part of your back that you can't hardly get to.
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That part between your shoulder blades. Mm-hmm. And they just drill down like, yeah, you can't get us here. You know what I'm saying? Even if he try, he gonna be, you know what I'm saying? He can't really smack us. So this is the perfect spot. I think they have taught that in a lesson. They have had a conference like, listen, you know what I'm saying? Between the shoulder blades is the prime meat. You know what I'm saying? And you're less likely to get killed. So go get the blood.
I believe it. They are deaf. They have evolved. And it's a part of it that feels personal. Like they definitely know. And you could see them when they hover like drones. You know, like they don't fly around like flies. Like, yeah, I have noticed flies have gotten a little slower. But yeah, the mosquitoes kind of, they drop down like drones. And you know me, I told you my sleep schedule has been erratic, you know, as of late. So sometimes, some days I stick to the bedtime, and I try to be asleep by the time I want to be asleep. But then, shit, just yesterday, I was up till damn near 4:30, you know, for no real reason, just because I just couldn't go to sleep, just because I just wouldn't go to sleep. I forget, there was a comedian that said this shit a long time ago, but then I'm a butcher it a little bit, but he was just like, you know, going to sleep is, you know, basically just getting in your bed and playing dead until you just go down. You know what I mean? And it's true, though. You got to really turn your body off. You have to turn your body off, but I'm a looky-loo. I'm trying to figure out what's going on the TV, what's going on the computer, what's going on the phone, all of that shit. So I'm in the bed, I'm looking at the phone, and that's the only light illuminating, and I seen a mosquito come through because of the light, and I got shook. I was like, damn, because then I can't find them when I turn the light on. It was, you know, so it's just like, damn, I know this motherfucker's in here, and they out for blood, literally.
Stealth yeah, bomber. Man.
Yep, stealth bomber, exactly. Mm. What's up with you, man? How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, man. Just plan, strategizing, you know, typical shit, you know what I'm saying, out here on the hustle of life, you know what I mean? creating, coming up with shit, putting shit out, I mean, just not putting shit out yet, but planning to put shit out, and I had a car club meet up this weekend. It's interesting.
Oh, you in Atlanta?
Yeah, I'm in the A.
Oh, okay.
So had a car club meetup. You know what I'm saying? I feel like a classic grown man. You know what I mean? I got a meetup with the fellas. You know what I'm saying?
Car with club. The boys. Yeah.
I never had no hobby, so this is new for me.
You know never saying? In life? Never in life?
Nah, my hobbies was business. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
I didn't ever have like, okay, I'm just going to, you know, hang out and do this thing with a group of people who are, you know what I'm saying, that do this thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
Unless it was like, you know, industry parties and shit. I guess that was my hobby.
That's business too.
Right. But so I never really was a part of a organized group. Since I played football at Scott Park.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So it's interesting. So I'm really trying to, you know, figure it out, get in and, you know, be a part of the gang. So
how is it? Talk to me. How's it been?
No, okay. So the first time I went, you know, it was cool. Everybody lined up. I got there too early, but I was there. You know what I'm saying? And then, but I didn't really know how to mix it up, you know what I'm saying? I'm just, you know, I'm hanging. It's like an event, you know. I'm just in my own little zone, like, hey, hi, whoop, whoop. Beam, I see the people I know, whoop, whoop, and everybody see everybody. You know, I see everybody moving it up, shaking it up. But I didn't really do that the first time. So next time I made it a point to say, you know what, I'm going to mix it up and I'm going to shake it up a bit, you know what I mean? Cool. So I bought a bottle of rosé, put it in the freezer. Then I put it in my little, you know, you stay cool bag. Put it in the trunk. Got a couple of cups just in case, of, you know what I'm saying, I was friendly and wanted to share. And I headed on over to the car club meetup. You know what I'm saying? The car, Merlot was all cleaned up. Pulled in. And that was, again, I was a little early. But I had a shoot because it was like from 1 to 8. And I had a shoot at 6, so I had to get up out of there by 4:30. So I got there like 2. And then so I was still a little early, you know what I'm saying? But you know, all of the cats who put it together, they were there. So I pull in, park, they tell me where to park, put the Benz on the Benz row, and then set up under the tree. You know what I mean? Saw everybody, you know, went over to the food truck, got something to eat, but I didn't see where they had no drinks. So I was like, damn. Food trucks, none of the food trucks had drinks. So I was like, okay, shit, I'm going to break that rosé out. So, boom, went and got the rosé, busted open, offered it to a couple, you know what I'm saying? Poured up a couple of drinks for the fellas and shit. Sat back and drank. Like, cool, this is cool. We kicked it. You know, everybody talking about cars, different cars pull up. We had a conversation about it. I'm part of the gang, you know what I'm saying? It was all good. And then, so now, you know, after you pour a few cups of rosé out the bottle of rosé, really only, you know what I'm saying, you get a cup and a half maybe. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I'm like, well, shit, I'm out of drink. I should have bought more drink. But it's like, fuck it. I saw a Texaco across the street because they had it at the Gold Room in the parking lot. So it was a Texaco across the street on Piedmont. So I trot across the street, beep, 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 pick up a six pack. All right, cool. I'm good. I'm going to be good till I go to my joint. And then I'm sitting there, bust open the six pack. And then I see like all the cats sitting next to me. Like drinks started coming to them, like they ordered drinks. I'm like, what are these drinks coming from? I asked the dude sitting next to me, like, where are these drinks coming from? He's like, I don't know. And then after I peeped the whole scenario, they had a whole bar. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, damn, I'm violating like a, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like they had a whole paid bar, and I'm out here done went to the store on their ass. You know what I'm saying? So I looked over at Biddy. And I was like, hey, man, I ain't mean to disrespect the bar. He was like, man, get out of here, man. Ain't nobody tripping on that shit. But I just wanted to let him know that I wasn't trying to be like a, you know what I'm saying, a stingy nigga and be like, shit, I get my own drink. So so it was cool. Then Coach K pulled up, you know what I'm saying, in one of his BMWs. Now, Coach K, it's a few guys in here that just, it's one guy pull up in something new every time, you know what I'm saying? And that's like Coach K. He got about, he done bought about 10 cars for the car club and shit. So it's just not even fair. You know what I'm saying? This nigga just get all of the shit that was classic. He just go get it. Rich nigga shit. So it's fun to watch. But I'm gonna keep pulling up in the Merlot.
That's what's up.
So it's so cool. I went ahead and put the tag on the front of my cars. You know, so solidarity and support. It's all good.
What, the Uptown Car Club tag?
Yeah, okay. They got like the Euro tag that go on the front of the cars and shit. So I put it on. You know what I'm saying? Pull up. Shit. Part of the gang.
You in the building. That sounds cool. Nah, that's what's up. That sounds cool. They got out there making new friends.
That's what it feel like.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. That's what's up. Getting the culture of it. So, you know so
like, I'm by the end of the summer, I'm gonna be real good with it.
Yeah. It's like you learning something every week. Okay, all right. So there's a bar here. All right, fair enough. All right, the arrival time is 3:30. Okay,
right. The arrival time is on the second half, you know?
Right. Oh,
but,
man.
You know what I'm saying? It's not that don't bring your own drink, you know what I'm saying? Just be cognizant of, you know what I'm saying, what it is. And if you do bring your own drink, bring enough to spread the wealth, you know what I mean?
Right.
And I did. I spread the wealth, but I should have had a few more bottles, you know what I'm saying? I could just pass some bottles down the line, and then you ain't got worried about it. You know what I'm saying? So that's cool. Right. And you know, like I said, man, I'm new to like joining a club, or you know what I mean, being a part of it. Like just not, and I don't have nothing to do with it. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like I'm just there. I'm a consumer. I'm a part of the. You know what I'm saying? I'm a member. You know. So it's just an interesting point of view to start learning at this stage in life.
Right. There's no orientation for the auto Illuminati. You know what I mean?
No.
Act like you've been there.
Yeah, you got to show up. And, you know, a lot of these guys, they know each other. They all, and you know, from here. So, but, you know, it's getting serious because guys is really spending money and bringing them out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So what's the vibe? What's the vibe? So like you say you arrived at like 2:00, right?
Yeah.
Other people started arriving. You cracked your rosé, some people around you poured up, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Y'all chilling, kicking it. So like are just people just like leaning on their car, on their parked car? So you was in the Benz side, so you was amongst other Benzes. Like is there like a thing? You know, I'm in my mind thinking, Boys in the Hood, Crenshaw, you know, when they was coming up down the line, like, is there a line of people loop?
It was a big parking lot, so it's a club parking lot. And so, you know, one row they had is all Benzes. Then they had the other row was all BMWs. Mm-hmm. And then I think they were saving this particular row for, like, you know, the exotics, shit like that.
Right.
And then it had like a row of just like, not random, but, you know, others like Pathfinders and Forerunners and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
So people come in, they pull up. Most people, you know, they chill by their car. See, when I got there, wasn't really nobody. It wasn't a whole lot of people. So if I sat at my car, I was going to sit alone. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So
got it.
I ended up sitting in under the tree with the guys who were like organizers. And then most people, when they pulled up, they ended up coming there, hanging out under the tree until I guess it filled in. See, when it started to fill in, it was about time for me to dip. So I had to dip out. Everybody was pulling in, which sucked. But how I need to do it, one, you need to bring some friends with you. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Bring somebody to talk to when, you know, all else fails. It's partners. Mm-hmm. And right. Then, you know what I mean? It's like guys brought tents. So you could put a tent over your car and then, you know, hang out under your tent. You know?
Right.
So it's that's like
tailgating.
Cool. Yeah, it's like tailgate, you know what I mean? And, you know, I'm type of, I ain't tailgated since FAMU or some shit, you know what
right.
I mean?
Right, okay.
And then, even then, I ain't have a car. I was just outside of the stadium.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you know, bring you a tent, maybe some chairs, you know what I'm saying? Bring you whatever you need for your own enjoyment and basically host people around your car. Is really okay. how you really should be getting down. You know what I'm saying?
Got it.
So it will probably start to prime the pump by bringing a couple, at least one or two other people to join you and be hanging out at your car and shit. You know what I'm saying? But I'm a transplant, so it ain't like I just got extra niggas to hang around. Hey man, you ain't doing nothing today. Let's go to the car joint. So I'm gonna figure that part out. Next month, I'll let y'all know how I do it. But I'm getting
it's a monthly thing. It's a monthly thing.
Yeah, they do it. They do an event once a month. Yeah.
Okay. And is it like a dedicated DJ, or is it like every car got their system playing and whatever your vibe is?
It's
your vibe.
A dedicated DJ that's playing music. Usually, you know what I'm saying, like New York style '90s type of music.
Got it.
A lot of Jay-Z. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Shit like that. They had like food trucks, food vendors, and then, you know, they sold the Uptown Car Club T-shirts and all that stuff in another tent.
Uh-huh.
It's cool, like, you know what I'm saying? They just starting too, so it's not like I'm new to their thing. They're new too to the whole thing, so it's a lot of figuring it out going on. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and so. So I'm with it, you know what I mean? And I'm here for it. And by the end of the summer, I have me some rims on the Merlot, and you know what I mean? It's gonna be different.
Oh, you going rimmed up? You about to go rims now?
Yeah, just keeping
it au natural.
Nah,
okay.
I'm enjoying Plain Jane. Like, Plain Jane is real cool.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But you can't really pull up.
Okay.
Unless you got, you know what I'm saying, some chrome lips on a three-piece rim or some shit.
I got you.
Like, you know, you gotta, you know what I'm saying, participate. Especially if you're going to keep pulling up in the same whip. You gotta, you know what I'm saying, do something. Let them know.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pull up.
Mm-hmm.
Give me, you know what I'm saying, I'm having some rims made. And
oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. All right. Ha ha. This nigga there. Ha ha. Get money, niggas. I like this. I like this whole community that's developing this shit. Nigga coming back with some more shit. Now, this is my last question.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last time you talked about it, if I can remember, I think you said it was a cat either with a BMW. Or maybe a Volvo or something. Who you said he kind of killed it? He was the one. Now, obviously, you didn't stay.
Had that black Porsche.
He had that black Porsche. Now, obviously, you ain't stayed a whole time this month. But from what you saw, it was
leveled out because you had like a lot of things from a lot of different ways. Now, so you had a cat who had like the Minister Society 5.0 Mustang with the Daytons. Green Mustang with the Daytons.
Uh-huh.
So He showed out. Of course, Coach K came with the, you know, the 850 joint. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So he killed that with the BMW. Then you had another BMW. I'm not sure which one of them CSI joints. So, you know, the Shark joints with the BBSs on it. So his shit was real clean. Like it was a good look. Then you had a couple, you know, you had a bunch of those M3s. Paid in full joints, small joints with the BBSs, couple convertibles, couple of hard tops, couple of ladies pulled up with some, you know what I'm saying? Shit, it was a girl who came with 560 like I got. I wasn't there, I just saw the pictures, you know what I'm saying? Another girl came with the drop top E30 Beamer. It's very Beamer heavy, you know what I'm saying? Oh, you had like the big body 90, you know what I'm saying, V12 coupe. We're on the motherfucking Lorenzo's. He was parked next to me. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, it was some things, you know what I'm saying? But you know, again, I didn't stay the whole time till everybody got there. Once I saw the pictures, it was a couple of other joints, some Pathfinders, a bunch of other shit out there. But okay. Cass is showing up, and you know what I'm saying? The thing about it is that you got a bunch of grown men excited about something that, you know what I'm saying, isn't just your typical shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, you always see, like, motorcycle clubs and shit like that, and you've always had car clubs. I just ain't never been part of one. So, for me to come in and see grown men, you know, have a passion for something, put their time and effort into something, and then come out and hang out and kind of celebrate that is interesting to watch. Like, you know, Coach K is highly successful as a music industry person, been in it for a long time, got a very successful label, you know what I'm saying? Top artist out here, with Lil Baby out here killing it, City Girls, Migos, goddamn, Lil Yachty. So they killing it. But to see that he is very excited and passionate about the car shit, you know what I mean, is interesting to watch. Because, like, on the other side, P, who is the other owner of Quality Control, he more like in the Rolls Royces and, you know what I'm saying, the new hot shit, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Hot shit, diamond chains, you know what I mean, all that. Like, so to see Coach be all the way on, like, I'm on some vintage shit, you never see him in, like, no hot shit, you know what I mean? Just be like, he probably bought 10 goddamn old schools that probably would cost, you know, the price of a Wraith or something, you know what I mean? But right. he put it all into, like, very collectible old schools. So it's interesting to watch guys work through their passion. Because that's how I work in regular life, in my work. So it's interesting to see it just in regular life, you know what I mean?
Yeah, nah, that's dope. That is really dope, yeah, to see, you know, see people get excited over some shit, especially some, like, random shit, and highly excited over that type of shit. Yeah, man. Right. That's right. Crazy. This is your first hobby in a long time. That's deep. That's deep.
Life.
Yeah, well, that's
not a long, like, ever.
Right. Wow. That is wild.
Okay. You need a hobby.
Yeah. Right now you feel it now. You're like, oh, okay, I see what they were saying. Right, that is right, funny. Right. Serious man. This man ain't but got no hobbies.
Here goes the thing about that shit, though. You okay. know what I'm saying? My work is like a hobby to me. My work is, I'm passionate about it. I like to do what I do. I like to figure out my work shit. I like to figure out I dropped out of, like, you know, marketing and media and all this shit and advertising and being, you know, a media person. Mm-hmm. And then you say, I'm going to shoot content, and you just buy a camera and shit. In the beginning, you just a camera nigga. You know what I'm saying? You just a nigga with a camera. You know what I mean? But I felt it, you know what I'm saying? I'm learning, I'm figuring it out, and now I'm understanding how to figure out big corporate problems with my little camera, you know what I'm saying? Which was ill to me. Mm-hmm. But people don't respect that, you know what I'm saying? People don't leave you alone when you say that's what you're doing for work. It's like, niggas, what is you, a cameraman now, nigga? No, nigga, I'm a producer. I shoot, you know what I'm saying? I create content. Nah, nigga, you a cameraman. You a picture man. Take my picture. You know what I'm saying? And so it's different when it's a hobby. You know what I'm saying? People leave you alone. You're like, yeah, I got a hobby. You know what I'm saying? I'm in here. You know what I'm saying? Making some arts and crafts, or I'm sculpting, or I'm fishing, or whatever. People leave you alone. Right. What you doing this weekend, man? I'm going fishing. Like, yeah, that's what he does. He likes to go fishing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But say you know what I'm saying? Say you it's Saturday shit. What you doing, nigga? I'm going to go do some work. Nigga, make some content. Nigga be like, man, shit. Nigga be on your ass. Hey, man, why don't you come over here? Man, fuck all that content. Nigga, you going to work every day? But it's fun for me. You know what I'm saying? So it's interesting, like, to categorize something, even when it's a passion that's work. You know what I'm saying? Like, the guys who run the car club, this shit ain't really no hobby for them. It's a business. But it can be categorized under the hobby lane. And motherfuckers leave you alone. They allow you to experiment. They allow you to grow with it. They allow you to do that shit. Ain't nobody really tripping on you. Now, you know what I'm saying? Nobody tripping on you like, yeah, man, shit. I like to go do my fishing on Saturdays. Or I like to go and go ride my motorcycle on Saturdays. Ain't nobody tripping. They leave you alone. Let him have his time on the motorcycle. But when it's business, they worry about you. Nigga, if that shit don't work, nigga, you might be in the po' house.
That's interesting. Because I, you know, and I wonder if it's a cultural thing, too, because I'm like, I'm thinking about hobbies, right? And typically, especially a lot of people that I know people with hobbies, but there seems to be, as I've seen, it seems to be sometimes there's like, depending on who you hang out with, there seems to be like a bit of a pressure to turn that hobby into some money. You know what I mean? Like, there's, you know, like, it can't never just be a hobby. So wait, you just do that shit for fun? That's what you do? Like, for fun sounds like such a luxury. You know what I mean? Like, it's too self-indulgent. So wait. So you telling me, so you don't make no money off of this? Like, I see you got all of this shit going on. I see you real, like, real interested in it. I see you done purchased some gear and everything, and you got everything. You know, yo, I'm looking at what you got going on here. I really think you could make some paper doing this. You know what I mean? Like, there's always the monetary agenda that often happens when you have that. Like, somebody's like, yeah, this shit cool, but you know what? You know how you could get some money? It's always that. So it's kind of cool when somebody can, like, legitimately, not even legitimately, that's not the word, but, like, contently, for lack of a better word, just indulge in the activity with no ulterior motives other than the fact that they derive pleasure from it, you know?
Right.
Like,
it's a problem with society, and especially black folks. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, even to even get it off, you gotta categorize it as a hobby or something. You know what I'm saying? You just can't, we don't just have recreation. We do, you know what I'm saying? We do in specifically, but in general, you know what I'm saying? Black people are not, you don't look at a black person and be like, you know what I'm saying? Shit. On motherfucking Saturday, he just goes off into the do whatever he, for recreation. Like, that ain't our whole thing. Like, you know what I'm saying? You get off work, you go to bed or go to sleep or shit, have a drink, smoke a joint, do something, chilling. Like, you're home. You know what I'm saying? But when I go outside around here, you see motherfuckers get off work, they be on their bikes or doing some other shit and just doing recreational ass shit. And it's like, we don't have the license to just say, I'm just on some recreational shit. Now, people do it. Black people do it. But it's just one of the things that I wish had more legs. You know what I'm saying? Like my whole thing, like, even with just being black projects, is to be on some old Norman Rockwell of black people shit. Because right. Norman Rockwell, you see, his pictures used to be white people just doing shit. They're in the car, packed it up, put all the shit on the top. They're having lunch on the side of the mountain. Mm-hmm. I ain't never shit. They don't never show black people like that. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. we don't just want to be recreational. You know what I mean? So I think it's a stigma that if you're not working, you're wasting time. Right. Because we don't have no time to waste. We don't have no time to be recreational and just be in the park with the grass between our toes and shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You walked around outside barefooted? Oh, Lord. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, yeah. it's a problem. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. like Instagram, you can go to the beach and be in the pool and be, you know what I'm saying? Like, people do it all the time. Mm-hmm. But still, there's a thing, like, if motherfucker catch you doing it in real life, they're like, nigga, you did what? That's nice yeah. and all, but, like, shit, nigga, you I'm like, where was your kids?
right. Yeah.
It's like, yeah. like always, like, you got to feel bad about being recreational. Yeah. And I think that's like, baby, like, we fight a lot for equal rights, and we fight a lot for, you know what I'm saying, just for people to see us as human. And I think we jump a lot to, like, we want it all done at once, like, just see us. But, like, first we got to see ourselves even just being regular. We got to get to regular first before we, yeah. you know what I'm saying? Not that we don't deserve. We deserve all of it. But we also have to just show regular shit. Like, nigga, we can get off work and get on our bike and do some exercise and hang out and, you know, be in the park with our animal. You know what I'm saying? And you know what I mean?
Yeah, like, our nigga, animal.
Right, our dog or whatever. Like, you know, people have pets and shit and hang out with their pets right. after work. You know what I'm saying? Right. We send our pet in the backyard. Hurry up. Now, shit. Tired. Been working hard all goddamn day.
Right, Woo. Right.
I ain't got time for this shit. Nigga come home fussing. You know what I'm saying? You ain't did your homework. Why? We just be wilding. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then when your kids go to school in a mixed environment, they want to do recreational shit. And that shit ain't endemic to our routine. Like, you yeah. want to do it. Can we just go to that? Nigga, it's a school night. Do your homework. And we All perpetuate right. the whole shit. You know what I'm saying? Well, why don't we just go to the park and do the homework in the park? That's possible, right? But that's not our first thing. Well, that's not my first thinking, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
My first thinking is, shit, do your work. Don't be coming to me. Shit, well, I've been working all day. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all about mindset, you know? Mm-hmm. It's all about mindset. And, you know, to that point, it's changing your mindset because, like you said, some people look at hobbies damn near like vices. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, oh, that's what you do? You know, like, you need to be around hobbyists. When you're around your car club cats, they understand your love and appreciation for cars, and they dig it. They you know, there's no pressure to explain. So what's going on here? Like, you know, when you take somebody that is not of whatever the culture of your hobby is to your hobby, they're gonna kind of may come across impatient, or they're gonna have a lot of questions. So wait, y'all just sit here? That's what y'all. So everybody just park their car, and so what's gonna happen now? Nah, we chilling. This is it. Oh, okay. Like, it's like anything, you know. It's like any type of leisure. There is that moment where, you know, like how you say you're still learning the car club community mm-hmm. and etiquette and all of that and how it works and things of that nature. I guess that's just like any other hobby, whether it's, you know, whether it's just chilling, whether it's photography, whether it's collect, like, there are hobbyists, like, people do this shit, you know. But again, it's like it's being exposed to it because it is going on. It's not as though it's right. not like it's, you know, it is, the shit does right. exist in the world, and it's always mind blowing when you're not exposed to something and then it's like somebody just turned the light on. And you're right. Like, yo, get the fuck out of here. This is what y'all do. Like, I love to see that. Cause I got my, it reminds me of my brother-in-law. He's like that. Like when he figure out, he say, like, when he sees some shit that's different that he never really seen before, he's gonna acknowledge the fact that this is different. And he's gonna talk himself through it aloud. Like, okay, so this is all right. So this is, so y'all just go, okay, so y'all just gonna kick it here. All right, that's interesting. So how long this going on for? How long y'all been doing it? Well, oh shit, all right. That's interesting. Wow. You know what I mean? But it's like, it's different. It's all different. And, you know, I think it's needed, though. It's definitely needed. Listeners, if you got hobbies, let us know in the comments what's your hobby, you know? And I do realize that people with hobbies, they make sure that they protect them shits, too. Mm-hmm. They don't, you know, fuck your judgment and fuck your infringement. Listen, right. Saturdays I go golfing with the fellas. Now you right. know, I say that every Saturday I'm over here at the links. I don't even know if they call it the links anymore. I'm right. over here down at the course. Right. Right. But yeah.
Let's see, then again, you put that out there, and he like, oh, he want to be a white boy trying to be out there with the white boys and stuff.
Yeah,
but again, it's sure. like. Because it's not, you know, we have to work recreation into our lives as a overall thing. You know what I mean? Everybody right. do it separately and individually. Everybody got their things that they do. But it's mm-hmm. like, we have to, it's not portrayed in media a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like, you watch movies, you got about three, four locations for black people. The house, mm-hmm. the club, the church. Restaurant,
you know barbershop, what
I'm saying? Barbershop. Yeah. You know what right. I'm saying? Yeah. In a comedy, you know what I'm saying? In comedy, you're gonna hit a barbershop,
right?
You know? And then after that, shit, that's it. Mm. So it's like we had to work that into just the everyday conversation. I thought Insecure did a good job at you know what I'm saying, switching it up and creating different environments and. These locations, and you know, let's do a block party, or even if we gonna be at the house, let's do it as do a baby shower, like show different shit other than right. your typical, you know, we gonna have this meeting at the restaurant, we gonna go hang out in the club, we gonna go to church afterwards, you know what I mean? So it's exposing the different things across our entertainment and mm-hmm. our media views. Like we don't get it, like we don't get to see it, you right. know, like even like I was talking about with even with Snowfall, like they covering the beginning of the crack era, but they don't really show none of the lifestyle, you know what I mean? They show the work and the trap and you know the conflict, but they don't show when Franklin go to the club and they're like, oh shit, there goes Satan them, you know what I'm saying? Like
right.
And them, like when you got and them attached to your shit, you like that's you have made it. You know what I'm saying? Oh shit, they go D-Lemon and them. Like mm-hmm. you got a crew, niggas done stepped in the building and them. Mm. It's just
corporation.
Like if you yeah. got a corporation and they put the in front of that shit, that means it's official, nigga. Shit, you saw that shit in the essence, nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like the is the qualifier for a business. You know what I'm saying? And them is the qualifier for an individual who has become a thing. So whoever he's with is important. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, they don't even show a lot of that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? It's just one motherfucker who the motherfucking shit and smarter than everybody who has no friends and no peers.
Yeah, I guess it's, you know, how it's designed sometimes. They, you know, if you if you let the narrative, whoever is creating the narrative, this assumed narrative of being black, it's like you down by 15. So you ain't got no time to just be dilly-dallying. Everything you do needs to be in the service of advancement. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what you think you're doing walking around barefoot with carefree, without a care in the world, nigga. We're down by 15. What are you doing to move the movement forward?
I'm walking in the grass barefooted. And as little as that sound, that does help move the needle forward, because the more people see us walking barefoot in the park, carefree, then they might, you know what I'm saying, ease up on that. We always got to be tensed up and in a motherfucking crisis survival situation.
I'm with it. That's a political act. Yeah, man. Joy as a political act. Yeah. I believe it. I tell you one of my hobbies. One of my things that I like to do is I like to watch YouTube, right? I get into these little YouTube holes. I don't know if it's a hobby, but it's a borderline obsession. One of my favorite things that I've been checking out, or recently, one of my favorite YouTube accounts is this account called Cocoa Butter, right? Mm-hmm. And it's, I guess it's like a, I guess like a black BuzzFeed. I don't know if you ever seen, like, you know, BuzzFeed stuff, their videos and their little, their content is always like just very random things under a microscope. So one of the things that Cocoa Butter does, it's like a black take on it. So like they'll do a thing where Southern people judge each other's chicken and waffles or, you know, Yardy Jamaicans judge each other's curry goat or, you know, it goes up, broke college students judge each other's ramen. That's like one series that they do on there. And I love that shit. I'll watch about if there's I wait for them to load up on a few, because I'll tear through them shits. I'll watch about a good 8 clip. And it's funny because it's just so much shit talking and, you know, like just shots being thrown. Basically what happens is it'll be like three contestants and then, okay, so one, it was like grandmothers judge each other's sweet potato pie. So it'll be like Linda, Geraldine, and Bernadette, right? And, you know, Linda, she's from Georgia. She been cooking sweet potato pie for the last 35 years. Oh, everybody love her sweet potato pie. You know, Geraldine, she live in Brooklyn, but her family, they from North Carolina, and her grandmother's who gave her the sweet potato pie recipe. And she, every time there's some type of cookout or birthday party, they always, Geraldine, make a sweet potato pie. So her sweet potato pie is heralded. And there's Bernadette, you know, shit. Bernadette just, she created her own sweet potato pie. You know, she just from tasting in it, she felt like nobody was doing it the way she wanted it done. So she created her own recipe, and it's a hit. You know, that she's here to show these people. And basically they all, you know, it's like a blind taste test type thing. Obviously you don't taste your own pie because you recognize your pie, but you taste, and nobody's in the room with each other. So nobody's in the room. It's just one person and tasting the pie. This each person is filmed by themselves. So they get their shit talk off. Like, I don't know who. Now this tastes like, this don't taste like sweet potato pie. I don't know what this is. You know, all of the shit talk, the jabs and whatever, and then they rank it. They rate it on a scale of 1 to 10, and then they, you know, they take the total, and at the end, the winner is announced. It, man, it's one of my favorite little series that I watch, man. I love them shits. I actually see a friend of mine that I knew, my homegirl JB. She was on there. She was on the cornbread episode. I don't think she won. I don't think she won, but she tried. You know,
you need to be on that. You got dishes.
I might have to. I don't know what I would compete in. I got to figure out where I would compete. Some of my events have passed. But I don't know where I would compete yet. But it's a cool thing. I've been watching it. I like mm-hmm. it. It's funny, man. It's funny. So
it's owned by BuzzFeed. It's a BuzzFeed.
That's what I thought. Channel. Yeah, I figured it was like a umbrella thing off of BuzzFeed. Yeah. So that's a good look. They went in with that. Yeah, I fuck with that. So that's I guess that's a bit of a hobby, if you want to call it that. You know, let me not be defensive because I was about to start being like, I made it, you know, I'm not going outside or nothing. You know right. what I mean? But yeah, it's a hobby of mine. It's some shit that I like to do.
But I'm not nigga on shit. Nigga, you can turn that shit into some money, nigga. You better get on right. there and make your dishes, man. Shit.
Nigga, get a sponsor. Shit. Next thing you know, yeah, nigga, give a fuck that.
Right, you around here cooking all this cook, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Shit, get some bread.
I could do content. Yeah. I like just enjoying it, watching that shit, man. It's one of those things. That's one of my favorite little YouTube accounts as of late. I'd definitely be heavy on YouTube, man. YouTube gets just as much play as fucking HBO Max in my crib.
Right. You're a full-fledged millennial.
I may be. I mean, I don't know. Shit, I don't know that. I don't know about that just yet. But I'm out here watching this shit. I'm paying attention. Yeah, man. Some other shit that I've seen. Well, I got a question for you. where do you stand on dress codes?
Well, I think it's a way to it's passive racism. You know what I'm saying? And I now know I think I know you're going with it with the Dominique shit, but definitely that restaurant where he went to is across the street from the apartment.
You know okay.
I've been there. You know what I'm saying? I never thought about it, but you know what I'm saying? When I went, it was still during the pandemic. They probably needed motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying? So I know I don't recall dressing up to go there ever at all. You know what I'm saying? But right. I do know when it's crunch time, you know, they enforce it so they can make sure that the right people are in the place to be and the people who are right, you know, got the right vibe around them. And so, you know, but there's other places that just do it just to, you know what I'm saying, streamline the type of people that come there. You know what I mean? So no hats, no athletic gear, no da-da-da-da. That used to just mean all no blacks, you know what I'm saying? Unless you come, you need to step your game up if you want to be black and come here. But during the pandemic, you know, all the luxury shit went, you know, casual because that's what everybody was doing. I think the mistake is that, you know, what we do, you know what I'm saying? You could be full-fledged, the right type of person with the right type of bread, and you come in to have some good eating, you know what I mean? And you get turned away, that's a sour taste, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, nigga, this is Balenciaga. This is, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was going into the W, and I had on, you know, like a dressy jogger, you know what I'm saying? But the drawstring, you know, to tie the joggers up was hanging out. So when the dude saw the drawstring, he was like, nah, no athletic gear. And these particular dressy joggers was made out of, like, you know what I'm saying, like a dressy material. So I tucked the string in. I was like, man, these is dressy joggers. These ain't no athletic gear. You know what I'm saying?
So I ain't doing no sports. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? After I tucked the string in, I you know what I'm saying? He shined his little light on. He was like, okay. And he let me in. You know what I'm saying? But I was like, God damn, why I got to qualify my dressy joggers and shit? You know what I'm saying? The problem is when they bend the rules for others. You know what I mean? When you got the little, you know what I'm saying, the yoga pant, Lululemon wearing, you know what I'm saying, mom's coming from yoga trying to get a little brunch, and they sitting out on the patio, you know what I'm saying, chilling, having a good time with the animal, you know what I mean, sitting down on under the table, then ain't no problem. But then here you come, like, nah, they want to enforce it. It's like dealing with, it's just America and the law and black people, you know what I'm saying? Laws ain't meant for them for all the times and shit. It's like, you know, okay, you know, Johnny was had a little reefer on him. It's okay, you know, he's go to rehab, he'll be fine. You know what I'm saying? Damien got the reefer on. Oh, Damien got to go to prison. You know what I'm saying? And this is the third time getting this offense. Oh, he got to stay for a while. So right. We deal with this inequity at every level of rules and law. So when you got a motherfucker, what do they call the people who check you in at the restaurant? Whatever.
Hostess.
You got this host, concierge. The hostess that's, you know, working on their life, trying to get their life together and shit. And they telling the motherfucking legend, you know what I'm saying, of this particular city, this nigga got a statue in front of the stadium. He got on joggers, but he's an athletic legend.
Right.
Nah, bruh.
The human highlight reel.
I don't give a fuck who you is. You ain't right. Coming up. Man. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then you look over there and see little Lula mom chilling.
Lululemon. That's my
home. I know. Those I'm just my, saying. I'm just calling it, you know what I'm saying, the way, you know what I'm saying, you know.
Those are my little, slave masters.
Little flex, you know what I'm saying? That's all.
Go ahead. that was the smooth way of saying Lula mom. Okay, go ahead.
No, it's like I was saying Lulu mom. Like a mom.
Oh, Lulu mom. It was a flip.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
My bad. I fucked up the flip. I stepped
nah,
on
it's,
you.
It's all good. I never really paid attention what the name was. I just know it'd be some moms coming from the yoga. You know what I'm saying? In the Lulus. So, anyway. That's my take. I don't know. What, you know what I'm saying? Shit.
Nah, I hear you. I agree with a lot of what you said. I'm getting more expansive than the Dominique thing, but to speak to the Dominique, well, first, I don't like dress codes, and I do feel as though it is a subtle form of racism, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's definitely a way to create barriers and protect certain people and to keep other people away. Mm-hmm. Right. And as many things go, it's become internalized, though. Right. To where rather than question the system, you question anybody that questions the system. Right. You know what I mean? It's like, well, why don't you just put some clothes on? What's wrong with you? You could do this. You could put on da 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 da. And It's a weird conversation because, look, you have, if you're a private establishment, you have the right to say, this is the look we want. Now, where it gets whack is when it becomes inconsistent, like you said, where you're seeing the Lululemons, you know what I mean, over there with the athleisure on and sneakers on and the big-ass animal under the table. You know, and then this black cat at the door has on slacks and a button down, but he might have some crisp white Stan Smiths. And they say, whoa, we not doing sneakers. And it's like, well, you're not standing behind what you say. Now, that's where the inconsistency, that's what I don't like, because I'm not mad at, look, if that's what you want to present, if that's the... that's the vibe you want to create, then that's your choice. This is a private establishment. Me, on the other hand, like I peeped early because I didn't even see it initially. Like I think my introduction to the dress code was at the club. So it wasn't even like you're going to see, you know, white people violating the dress code. It was just like, If you ain't got no shoes on, no, you know what I mean, no sneakers, mm-hmm. you got to have. I remember that was a thing. There was cats that would wear hard bottoms to the club, you know, and it's like when you you think, yeah, when you think back on it, it sounds so oppressive. You in the club.
That's when the Steve Madden sneaker hybrid came out.
Yeah, which was a mess. Which is a mess, like a bowling shoe.
Right, right.
The Diesel sneaker, the Prada joint, you know, right. All of those fucking, that was a terrible moment for footwear, man. Or you trying to go to the 40-40 club. This is Jay-Z's club and all of this, and they talk about no sneakers at the Jay-Z club. You're like, what the fuck? Word? This is when this nigga got S. Dot Carters on the shelf, and right. they can't go into. This is a it's sports a
fucking
bar.
Sports bar.
Yeah, at that, but you gotta have a Kohan on in the sports bar. You like, man, this is some bullshit. But you know what I mean? Because then, you know, and then you might see the inconsistency because Pharrell might fall through with some Bapes. You know what I'm saying? Bapes Dazord and right through. Come on. You know what I mean? It is what it is. So there's the inconsistency, the inequity. That's the bullshit. But then what happens is it becomes internalized and it's like it becomes a value on presentation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, presentation and personal style. Like, it shouldn't become homogenized. Then they ain't got your own personal style. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, you look at various people that would just, they show up casual. You know, there's various, you see the mogul that was casual and they, you know what I mean? They come through and it's like, oh, that's like a fucking a rule breaker. But I respect the casual nature of how they came through. But the fact of the matter is everybody know that person's worth $1 million or more. Right. Or, right. you know, I mean, you know, whatever. You would see, you know, wealthy white people and they would, you know, they would have on some very casual shit. They're not thinking of it. Whereas it's like it becomes cosplay for... You know, black people striving or trying to make it in the world, they gotta appear as if, you know what I mean? And it's some bullshit. So, so that's how I feel just off rip. Like, I'm not a big fan of this shit because I don't like the tension it presents and all of that. I mean, look, if you want to dress up, then dress up. Because that's how you want to show up, right? Mm-hmm. But if you want to put on some smooth shit, and you know what I mean? As long as you ain't looking bummy, because that's subjective. Right. It's how you present yourself or whatever. Right. If you could pay the bill and you could, you know, whatever. Right. You know, okay, so there's that. So let me, speaking to the Dominique shit, well, hold on. You sound like you wanted to jump in for a second.
No, I just wanted to say, like I said, I've been to that spot. You know what I'm saying? And I don't recall ever, you know what I'm saying, doing nothing special. You know what I'm saying? I never went there suited and booted. You right. know what I'm saying? And I definitely don't be walking around with hard bottoms on. So, you know right. what I'm saying? I can't imagine,
and,
you know. I don't
and
know
you
what.
Didn't play for the Hawks.
And I never played for the Hawks. You right. know what I'm saying? I just okay. casually, but I never went there in prime time either. They will tell you, right. ain't no motherfucking seats in that motherfucker. You need to get
right.
a reservation.
Well, that's a whole nother thing. That's a whole nother thing. And I'm not mad at that. But like, and I know I'm going to kind of contradict a little bit of myself as it relates to preferential treatment.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not based on, this is not based on attire. This is based on achievement, accomplishment, and legendary status. Like, you Dominique Wilkins. Like, you was giving Jordan a run for his money in the dunk contest. Like, you are a pillar of Atlanta. You know, like, you shit. That fucking jersey is iconic to this day.
Right?
That's the original 21 Savage. Right. So, like, let's say, you got a statue. This is the same day as game one right. of the Knicks-Hawks playoffs.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And this still is the ultimate Atlanta Hawk legend.
Right.
damn, family, like it is like you can't accommodate this. This is the guy. This is on his day. Like, yo, God, put him in his side or something. Like, I felt like, damn, they really shitted on the guy. But again, right. Maybe they don't know. Maybe they're not hit. Maybe they just saw a big, tall, black motherfucker looking too casual for the scene. But somebody, you know how, like, presidents, you know, had those people that they whisper in your ear and say, no, that's Vladimir Dominique. Putin told me. Yeah, that's Dominique. That's the human highlight reel. No. We need to figure something out. This could go nasty. So I thought that was crazy. But what I also want to talk about now, because the thing about dress code is, like, it's so embedded and it's somebody set it up and it becomes the norm, right? Mm-hmm. And when you go against the norm, oftentimes you're gonna look crazy. You're gonna get ostracized. People are gonna look at you like, how dare you? So, Dominique aside, that's one thing. But what I wanted to get into, because I've seen this percolating on the timeline over the last couple of days, I've seen two instances of this, mm-hmm. and I think it's hilarious. But There's these photos of these couples being married, mm-hmm. and the bride has got her bride shit on, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? White dress, veil, you know, train, whatever, like really doing it. You can go to the dude, this nigga got a do-rag on, a white tee, some fucking Air Force Ones. I seen one, they was on the beach, he had a white tee. He has some cargo shorts on, and, you know, I think he might have had some ones on, too. So, suffice to say, they are killing these dudes. Mm. What is going on? This is an omen from the... First of all, why would he even show up like this? Da-da-da-da-da. And, obviously, it's a veer from the norm. Mm. But... who created the norm? Who created the guy in the suit? As Seinfeld always say, he has a famous bit where he was like, the groom always in the suit and is his best man and they all dress the same. So it's almost like if the guy don't show up, they could just pull a motherfucker off the line and say, all right, you step in and get it in. Which just happened recently too, which was bananas. But where do you stand with that?
That's kind of, you know, that's outside of the lines of you know, that's just, you know, cats taking shit too far. You know what I'm saying? It was almost like what we talked about with these proposals and niggas, you know what I'm saying? Like the fright proposals and all that shit. Niggas just take shit too far. Sometimes, you know, cats, like, this is drip. Like, you know, man, you know, you, especially when you're dealing with young cats, and drip is drip. And, you know, niggas don't want to never get caught without the drip, you know, mm-hmm. so they are put on the drip to go to something that's not drip worthy. You know what I mean? You ain't here for the drip. It's, you know, it's the dress up. Now, I will say this, you know what I'm saying? And then take it back to the restaurant shit, the dress code shit. And, mm-hmm. you know, the wedding is your own personal affair. Like, you want to do that shit, that's you. You know what I mean?
Right.
You the one going to be on the pictures and have to talk to your kids about that shit later. You know what I'm saying? Right. So, hey, that's you. You pay for this shit or you participated. Hey, listen, that's you. But I will say this. Niggas will embarrass you. You know what I'm saying? Nah. You know, this is a fine dining experience and shit. Now, why the fuck was you coming here with your pants off your ass and your drawers? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And you know what I mean? And you're doing wild shit. You're just all out of the whole feng shui of the place. Now, that, you know what I'm saying? Like, niggas will do that. And shit that insults me the most, mm-hmm. is right now is the motherfucking airport. And the way that some of these motherfuckers come to the airport, man. You know what I'm saying? That's where they need the dress code. That's
like pajamas?
Not just the pajamas. But like some, like, you know, recently had this wild ass, stupid ass flight, which, given if you time it right, it's a beautiful situation because it's a flight to Atlanta from New York.
Right.
and it's American Airlines, and they have this connection in Miami. And so you fly over to fuck Atlanta to go all the way to Miami to fly back to Atlanta. It's a stupid flight pattern. But if you play it right, they have some of them that where you can have like an 8-hour, 12-hour layover. Then you can you can enjoy the day in Miami and then come your ass to Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? So I've done it where I've timed it like that, got off, you know what I'm saying, hung out, had dinner with the fam, went back to the airport and flew on to the next destination. So, you know, Miami and Atlanta flights always got the shits. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, okay, it's 7 in the morning. You got on the tight booty short that's up your ass, matching with your shoes and your designer purse, but then you got a big ass bonnet on. It's like, oh God. You know what I'm saying? Stop it. Like, come on now. Shit, I'm all for freedom of expression. But come on, man. You about to get on the plane, man. You know what I mean? So it's you know, you got niggas come through. They grown ass men in a pajama and a house slipper. You know what I'm saying? Dragging their feet, two duffel bags. Like, man, come on, man. The shit, it gets embarrassing sometimes, man. You know what I'm saying? And not that, you know, you have to be dressed like them, but goddamn, put on fresh for us. That ain't even fresh for us. You know what I'm saying? I know you're trying to preserve your hair, but golly, dude, what get you a nice little hat and you know, put it around, you put your scarf on and then drop your hat on top of the scarf. Well, you know what I'm saying? Something. But nah, they come. I don't know. I just think it's the more airfare and some of these places are democratized, then you have more people come into it that may not know the lay of the land. You know what I'm saying? And they come how they would go any motherfucking well. You know what I mean? So people at Walmart gotta fly too. You know what I'm saying? So you know what I'm saying? They gonna come how they come. But there's no orientation for a lot of this shit. You know what I'm saying? Until somebody turn you away, then you mad. But somebody should have just told you before. Like, nah, you might want to put on a little woo woo. You know what I mean? You ain't got to do too much. Just, you know, ha ha. You know?
Right. But see, that's the problem. Because it's like, you ain't got to do too much, but you got to do something. And that's where it gets gray. Right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, the thing is, we all got our own personal taste and our own personal standard and our own personal level of embarrassment, right? Mm-hmm. Some people, you know what I mean? Some people are not going to be caught dead looking crazy like that. But then, to your point, people that go to Walmart got to fly too, right? Mm-hmm. And I think one of the illest hustles that might somewhat be slowing down or falling apart, especially after this pandemic, you know, was the correlation of air travel and luxury, right? You know, when flying, first of all, it's a phenomenon. Like, it is unbelievable. Like, we in the air, and we're going to stay in the air till we get to our destination. This is magic. You know what I mean? This is not the bus. This is not a train. This is not foot. You know what I mean? This is just not, this is a bit more, this is elevated literally. So with that elevation, you know, when it first came, when it first started, when it rolled out, you know, back in the days, flight attendants, you know what I mean? They were dressed up. The captain is dressed looking like a captain. You know what I mean? People could, there was first class and you smoke a cigarette and you know what I mean? It's class. Like, they could get away with that. There's no first class on the A train. You know what I mean? It's just, it is what it is. It's by the door or it's in the middle or it's strap hanger. So there's that. Now what has happened is, like you said, it got democratized because A flight is a flight, and it's $250. Mm-hmm. $250 could get you to Miami and back to Atlanta. You know what I mean? If you do that, you know what I mean? Come through. If you got that money, you got that money. Mm-hmm. Right? So now, everybody, whoever got $250 showing up. Mm-hmm. So it's cats that ain't never even had the idea. They never even had that conversation of how to dress for a flight. They just going, they going, and they going to wear, as you said, their drip, or they going to wear what they need to wear. And shit, if you've been on your phone recently, you might want to wear something comfortable because niggas is fighting on the planes nowadays. Niggas is fighting at the gate. Niggas is, you never know.
Again,
so
embarrassing.
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely embarrassing. But shit, you don't want to get your ass with some hard bottoms, some slides, or you ain't got no traction in your fight. So anyway, it is that. Because what I also see, obviously, if you feel it more when it's your people. You know what I'm saying? Because your people, we have this thing to where we all represent each other. Even though we say we're not a monolith. Even though some people say just because they're your skin folk, they ain't your kin folk. But as black people, as people that are still down by 15, we still look like everything that somebody of our race is doing could be a reflection of us. So it hurts when we see our people coming up short, quote unquote short. They not, you know what I mean? They could have done a little better. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, and not just in air travel, but we'll stay in air travel for a second. You see white folks in these flip-flops and these, hair is bugged out and whatever. Like you go to Broadway, which is another place where luxury was sold. You know what I'm saying? The great white way. You go there and you got, Dan and Roseanne from Minnesota coming through with t-shirts on and fucking basketball shorts and some slides. Mm-hmm. And they got Hamilton tickets. And they in the orchestra. That don't look like Broadway. Broadway used to be suit and tie, shirt and tie, at least da-da-da-da-da. Like, I think the democratization, like, it's like we always joke about there's the audience that you think you have, and then there's your audience.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you might think your audience is sexier than they really are, and when they show up, the reality is they're going to show up looking like them, and it might not fit the profile. You know what I mean? It ain't.
I was on this flight one time. Actually, it wasn't that Miami flight. I was on a flight coming back to New York, and this was recently, too. And it was a cat sitting across the aisle from me. And, tall, black cat, you know what I'm saying? He was, regular clothes. He was chilling. But as soon as the plane landed, you know how people clap and shit, and that some people get annoyed at that shit. He didn't clap. He wasn't one of those people. Mm-hmm. This nigga pulls out his JBL speaker and proceeds to play the landing music for the plane. You know what I'm saying?
What's the record?
Keith Sweat or some, it was like R&B, like Keith Sweat. Like, not loud or subtle, like he's playing this, he DJing for the plane. Is this the plane? And then I look over there, he got his speaker, and then he turns it up. I'm like, he's all the way in. Now, first of all, it's a night flight. Why I want to hear all that shit, man. I wish I was one of those niggas. Like, man, turn that motherfucking shit. You know what I'm saying? But I ain't one of them niggas. I appreciate those kind of niggas. You know what I'm saying? Turn that goopy ass shit off. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like that.
But like I ain't that guy. Community police.
Right.
Yeah, no, I can dig it.
I ain't that guy. You know what I'm saying? But
where's a Jerome?
Yeah, right. No, I can dig it. You know what I'm saying? We need those niggas. You know what I'm saying? Like, So this nigga proceeds to play that shit. He gets off the plane. And you know how, right, like, sometimes you can't get away from a nigga? Like,
right,
just the way that it was set up. Like, I couldn't walk fast enough in front of him. You know what I'm saying? Because, right, it was a crowd. So I'm just stuck next to the
looking
nigga.
Looking like you with him.
Right.
Looking like that's your homie.
And then, on top of that, the nigga has no bags. The nigga has nothing but this speaker. You know what I'm saying? And it's cold. He got no jacket. You know what I'm saying? He coming. Yeah, we was coming from Florida. So he has no jacket. It's cold. Mm-hmm. He got the speaker. We go to the baggage claim. Now, because, you know, he with me now. Like, you know what I'm saying? We just step for step. And he walked straight out. He ain't got no bag, no nothing. I'm like, nigga, you is the type of nigga that get profiled. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all need to pull this nigga over and see what he up to. You know what I'm saying? Because I know I've been stopped. Like, when I...
what when you I, got in the Bluetooth?
Right, yeah, like, no, you know what I'm saying? Like, I used to... When you go to L.A., right? And I ended up having an apartment there. So I ain't had to take no bag. You know, I'm flying... Go to L.A., just, you know, have, you know what I'm saying, one little shit, or, you know what I mean, you get off the plane and haul ass. And one time, I did the shit, and they rolled up on me like, shit, where's your bags? I'm like, nigga, I don't got no bags. I got a place here. Like, nigga, oh, nah. You know what I'm saying? Niggas searched me down. You know what I'm saying? Niggas took my keys. All kind of shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, man, y'all need to be searching this nigga right here.
Right.
But I'm like, man, come on, man. Nobody want to hear that shit, man. Turn that off.
He thought he was killing shit.
Oh, he, was killing it, he was killing it.
Oh, in his mind, he killed it. He said that was all he flew for.
Right.
That was the whole shit. He was like, yo, I'm about to, oh, wait, how much, what's the, what they said, we descending? All right, let me go ahead. Let me go ahead and put this key on. I remember the first time I, man, the first time I ever flew into fucking L.A., they searched my bag like I was a fucking drug mule, like it was Maria Full of Grace. Like, yo, they came out of nowhere. I got my bag off the conveyor belt. This is my first time going to L.A. I'm going out there to do a story on somebody, get my bag. They chilling by the door, like undercover, white dude, two white guys. And... might have just been one white guy. It might have just moved like two. But all I know is like one like Hulk Hogan looking white dude was real undercover, had on some sunglasses, was chilling. As I'm walking to the door, he came out of nowhere, flashed his badge, was like, whatever, whoever he announced he was with, I'd like to check your bags. Yo, I mean, my man like checked my bags like he had a search warrant. Like, there's gotta be a key in here somewhere.
Right.
Patted me down. Where you going? What's your itinerary? Da 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 da. I'm like, huh? I tell him all of this shit. I feel guilty the way the motherfucker was going through it. Like, I was like, oh shit, it got me. You know what I mean? I ain't got shit on me, but they got me. And then after all that shit, he was like, all right, well, welcome to LA. And that was it, nigga. That was my welcome to L.A., man. That shit had me fucked up for a long time, man. I don't think I ever checked a bag in L.A. since. But
yeah, buddy.
Yeah, that shit's crazy. But yeah, man, you know, it's this tears, and it's just what you could tolerate. Because in his mind, he really thought he was killing it. And in his mind, he thought that niggas was going to feel that shit.
And he probably thought niggas was feeling it, but he did not read the room.
He probably thought niggas was feeling it. He did not read the room. He did not read the room, at least well enough for you. Or what if he'd have played the right record? And is there? And that's the real question. What is the right record for your descent into wherever you was coming from, Florida?
It might have been a right record when you land somewhere like a vacation spot, you know what I'm saying? Like on one of them flights where people clap, like, you know what I'm saying? That probably was a right record. This was like a bunch of motherfuckers, they coming for work, you know what I'm saying? It was like, you know, it was like a standard, you know, business flight. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a whole lot of vacationers, you know what I'm saying, coming to New York.
Yeah.
So... Nobody
read the
wrong.
He read the flight
rule. Yeah, nobody wanted feeling that shit. Niggas was like, everybody wanted somebody to be like, turn that goofy ass shit off. Everybody wanted that. I mean,
he wanted that enforcer. He wanted the freelance air marshal. You know what I mean? Yeah, nah. Because it's the worst way, but like, I've definitely been on a flight where I'm going for work. Maybe I'm going to do a show somewhere in a city, but there's an event going on in that city, right? I might say, for instance, I'm going to New Orleans to do a weekend, but it's the same weekend as Essence Festival. Mm-hmm. So that, like, I've been on flights where it is lit.
Right.
Where you like, I'm uncomfortable. Like, cause I don't like a whole lot of shenanigans in the air. I don't need you to be twerking 30,000 feet in the air. I get nervous. That shit just don't seem conducive. But you can't tell a motherfucker that they about to go have it. They've been drinking at the gate. They drunk. They're the motherfucker. That's how you get beat up on the flight.
Yeah.
Trying to, yeah. Because that's the other part of being that motherfucker that like, shut that shit up. You got to be ready with the hands. Because
people who do that usually already ready. You know what I'm saying?
They the wildest niggas.
They can't wait. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what they came for.
Because they know once you blast the motherfucker, you all the way on the front street. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So you can't blast the motherfucker in. Like, even when I do step into some shit like that, like on the train, like on the subway, it's this one motherfucker, homeless motherfucker that was on the subway. He always be on the A train at this point, at this era. And he was fucking with this lady on the train. You know what I'm saying? Like, being loud and disrespectful and shit and talking about what he gonna do. So I moved my seat. And I put myself between him and her. And I sat down between them two. And I just turned around and looked at him. I ain't got a whole lot of, loud, blah, 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 blah. But I wasn't finna let him do nothing to that lady. You know what I'm saying? And then he started to say a little shit to me. But then when he noticed that I wasn't, like, engaging him like that, and it wasn't no whole lot of woof, woof, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. He just got up and got off and went to the next car. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I've done it, but I'm not finna be the one making no whole announcement about this shit. Because if it go left, you know what I'm saying? I ain't tested my fight skills in since the motherfucking 80s, nigga. So, you know what I'm saying? Early 90s, like, shit, I don't know what's good in the fight arena.
You know might be outdated.
You know what I'm saying?
Like a old cadence. Your cadence was off. Yeah, so, yeah, sound like an old rapper.
So if I'm going to fight, it's going to be like one of them fight to the death type of fights, because I got to throw everything at it. So I don't want to make no announcement about this shit. I want to at least have some people on my side, like, if it go left. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But he was trying to be a hero. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, you want to be a hero. You don't want to be that nigga played himself. Right. He's doing too much.
He should have minded his own business. Exactly. See, that's what happens when you don't mind your business.
There's a thin line between a hero and a cautionary tale.
Right, you know, when you feel like if it's about like my kids or my family and shit like that, then all that shit don't none of that matter. You know what I mean?
Right.
But you know, you just ain't gonna let wrong just be the fuck wrong right in front of your face. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And you know what I'm saying? Oh, it's the three black people, the guy who fucking agitating it, the victim, and then you. And everybody else is other. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Ain't nobody going to jump in but you if it's going to be something.
Yeah, you got to be ready. You got to go over it. There's that moment, too, right before you feel like you got to do something. You kind of go over the choreography in your mind. You go over what you're going to do first, your plan of attack, and you hope that shit is successful. You hope you don't read the room wrong.
Nah,
you know what I mean? Because, woo-wee, you're like, oh, this nigga here, he was a formidable opponent.
These type of scenarios, it ain't going for like a tussle or a fight. You got to go for the whole... You know what I'm saying?
It's like
somebody once said, if it's worth fighting for, it's worth killing for. So you got to, you know what I'm saying, gauge yourself accordingly. And it's, you know what I'm saying, it's going to be, you know what I'm saying, some headbutts and biting of the noses, trying to bite a whole nigga face off. it's going all the way to the extreme.
Because
at that point, you know what I'm saying? It ain't about, like, let's box and see who, you know what I'm saying?
Right, right. This isn't a dance.
Yeah,
nah. This is a duel.
This is it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right.
I don't feel like I should be advertising that. I got to get my mind together. I ain't got a whole lot of Wolf tickets to sell. I'm like, shit, let me, okay. All right, the nigga do got a little limp. Let me take that leg out, headbutt him straight in the motherfucking nose. Then I'm going to bite that motherfucker off. And then it's going to be whatever after that.
I got that far.
After that, you know what I'm saying? It shouldn't be much else to do.
Right. This nigga fighting with no nose. I didn't plan for that.
He didn't plan for that.
Nah, exactly. Shit. You know what I'm saying? Oh, man. That's funny.
I never would have. I heard somebody, like, you know what I'm saying? I heard somebody tell me that. That's how they going at it. I'm like, you know what? That is the way. Cause you know what I'm saying, all that trying to test your boxing skills, I ain't got enough wind for all that. I ain't been training. Note to self: in the jam, explode a nigga face with your head. Then bite their nose off their face.
And bite the nigga nose off. That shit is so nigga turned into a Rottweiler. You gotta get an animal. You one of them animals under the table.
Nigga, who out here taking skull in the referee? Ain't no skulls and referees on the subway on the A train in the middle of the night.
Nigga,
just do or die.
That's when you know you're a bad motherfucker when niggas is on the train like, oh, damn, this nigga, shit. And when a motherfucker that's taping it for World Star put his camera down like, oh, hell no. Nah.
Right. They be like, ooh, that's too much.
Oh, that's my God.
That's what you want. You want people to be like, oh no, stop it. Oh, don't kill him. That's what you want.
Yeah. That's the other way of breaking the fight up. Oh, please don't kill that nigga. Please don't. Well, somebody better get him off me. Meanwhile, you got his nose in your mouth.
Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Ain't no way, man. Shit. That's how
I ain't come
it.
To play.
That ain't what I want. That ain't what I want. But again, if you got to get it down.
Shit. Yeah.
You got to get it down. It's all.
Now you
got to
go all out.
For the victor, go to the nigga who's willing to exert the most violence.
Right. No, it's a violent. It's violent. That's people forget. This shit is not a performance.
No.
This shit could be the end.
This not
for
a boxing
somebody.
Match. You know, exhibition and shit. You know what I'm saying?
This was not sanctioned.
It's not Mike Tyson, Roy Jones in 2020. Nah.
Right. This nigga's on the train.
This nigga probably got a knife or something. You know what I'm saying? You got
right,
that.
Right.
Shit. Man.
That shit is hilarious, man.
Anyway, it's fucking up my feng shui, man. Shit.
You got all this fucking
my
nose
spirits.
Flesh on my shirt. Nigga.
Get my spirit back together.
Right. Oh, shit, man.
Anyway. Oh, speaking of flights, dog.
Yeah, go ahead.
And the 225. Today on the Twitter, it was Klarna was trending. Klarna is
now
the.
What is Klarna?
Klarna is the thing where you go to pay for something, like say you shopping for some shoes and shit, and then it'll be like you can use Klarna and only pay $50 a day, and then you know what I'm saying, and pay it off in 4 installments. You're like, oh shit, damn, I ain't gotta spend but
like
50.
Layaway.
Yeah, it's like layaway, but you get the shit right now.
Okay.
Yeah, you
gotcha,
know what I'm saying.
Okay.
So it's like, you know, pay it off in 4 installments type of thing.
Right.
Yeah, over a month, you put in your card number. They so. I guess Klarna has announced that they are now doing flights. You know what I'm saying?
Ooh,
so now, not only if you got the 225, you could like, shit, I could break this shit up into 4 payments and be on that motherfucker and out of here. You know what I'm saying? So it's like all the people in trending was like, you know, me in first class after I pay for my ticket on Klarna. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be interesting. These summer flights coming up.
Oh yeah, it's going
the layaway seats.
Yeah, man. It's general admission. It's gonna be
it's
everybody
be crazy.
Klarna flight. Shit.
Buy now, pay later. Now, how many niggas gonna catch the flight and then don't pay the payments on the back end?
Come on. Of course, man. They treating the plane like a cab. Now I'm hopping that shit. I'm getting to Florida and I'm coming, nigga. Please, they ain't niggas, never gonna see me. Scammers.
Book the whole summer. All right, shit. June, I'm going here. July there. August, I'm going to make 2 trips. Bum, bum, bum. Mm-hmm. Bust them down in the 4 payments. Ha, ha.
Right.
So that means you only paid 25% for your flight.
Right. Yeah.
Good money. You got your whole summer at the cost of one.
Yeah. That shit going to get changed in a second. Something going to happen. One ain't, I don't know if they don't realize the Pandora's box that they done opened. That shit, listen. Motherfuckers are going to start flying some old other shit. It's going to be a whole new... We even going to hear about this shit. It's going to be a whole new method of transportation that's going to be so secret. It's going to be like when Clubhouse came out, the first 3 weeks of Clubhouse. You ain't even know about that shit. You ain't get no invite, none of that shit. That niggas is flying. Oh, man. Oh, man, that is wild. Klarna. I never heard of Klarna. That's interesting. Yeah. I'm gonna go check that out.
I think as I was reading the threads, it was a couple of other services that do that, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Installment payments for flights.
I mean, you know, if you got a card, it's just the same shit anyway. It's just a little bit more.
But I'm saying you ain't gotta have no card. You just gotta have a debit. Like shit.
No. I get it. It's definitely more accessible. It's definitely more accessible. And in the long run, if you are somebody that's gonna pay it off, you are getting gouged. You're going to pay more than if you just had the money up front.
Actually, that's the thing about Klarna. If you pay your 4 installments off in time, it's no interest. So it's the same as the regular price if you paid the motherfucker off in time.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
Yeah, so that's you cool. know what I'm saying? But, you know, most motherfuckers ain't going to, you know what I'm saying? Most motherfuckers going to miss because it's like a direct deposit type of shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Motherfucker gone, that shit gonna hit the same time as all that other shit you done pushed off and your Tidal and your iTunes and your Hulu.
Right.
One of them shit's gonna hit on the wrong date.
Yeah.
And then there go the interest. That's what they banking on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're gonna try to catch you slipping. That's what it's all about.
It's like your regular bank. Banks probably make more money off of overdraft fees than any motherfucking thing else.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That's when you find out how good your rapport is with that bank. You got to call and see if they can waive that overdraft fee. I'm quick to call and humble up. You know what I mean? Like, trust me. Like, I get into it. I'm using your first name. My tone is way more. I mean, it is patient. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to reference this whole pandemic. You know, I mean, it's been tough on me. You know what I mean? Like, listen, I've done it already. So what I'm telling you, I definitely shit. And then they go, they say, well, let's see. They put you on hold for a second. That's like when they review the foul.
Right.
Like when they're looking, they go into the fucking booth and they come back and they say, okay, yeah, we're going to do it this one time. You're like, whew, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Y'all still fuck with me. You know what I mean? Thank you for being a valued customer. You know what I mean? That's where you hope that shit come into play. So, yeah, man. Anyway, you got anything else you want to say before we get out of here? I know that's it, man.
We done,
we dipping shit, and dodging.
Got me violent out here and shit.
Yeah.
Heart beating fast and shit.
Primal. Shit is hilarious.
Hey, I only had a couple of fighting tips in my whole life. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And the first one, it worked like a charm all the way until I figured out how to not fight no more. You know what I'm saying? My pops taught me this Aikido move. And, you know, Aikido is all about going with the momentum and shit. And so he taught me how to do a hip toss because, you know, I was young. I was, you know, probably like 7. And he was like, you know, you could throw somebody that's way bigger than you. He's like, you think you could throw me? And I was like, nah. And he's like, let me show you something. Then he showed me how to do it. And, you know, with a hip toss, you could, you know, leverage a person's weight over your hip and throw their ass on the ground.
Yeah.
And that became my go-to from whenever that was to around about 7th grade. You know what I'm saying? Motherfucker walk up on you, and you know the fight is inevitable. Throw their ass, grab around the neck, throw their ass in that hip toss, and then by the time you throw them on the ground, you're already on top of them with them in the headlock.
Yeah.
And all you gotta do is bang the face, right? So it's over after that. Like, you know, elementary fight only lasts 30 seconds. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
So by the time I got to middle school and then I learned how to Jedi mind trick a nigga, then I realized, damn, I ain't never got to fight no more. Because, shit, really, like, in a fight, you know, everybody is, like, the baddest motherfucker is still concerned in a fight. Mm-hmm. And usually the baddest motherfucker ain't just going around just fucking with people. It's usually the people that ain't the baddest motherfucker that just want to prove some shit. So when they come to you, you know what I'm saying, this particular guy, you know what I mean? He was wanting to go for, he wanted to go for bad, you know what I mean? I had bought some new shoes, came to, I probably told this story, but I bought these shoes and he wanted them. And, you know, he ran to what size those is, you know what I'm saying, blah, 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 blah. You need to give them up. Mm-hmm. And I'm, you know, I'm coming out of the cafeteria. I got my friends with me, and these friends, they not no bad fighting kids, you know what I'm saying? And I haven't fought in probably a year and a half. I'm like, oh, my God. Damn. Here we go. So he's like, you know, you need to give them up. And so now I'm like, I summoned all my fighting energy. You know what I'm saying? All my grandma, my everybody, all my badass Cleveland family. And you know what I'm saying? Don't come in here and let nobody take nothing from you. You know what I'm saying? Shit. So I was like, okay, this is what is, it's inevitable. So I just stepped directly to him and was like, nah, you're going to have to take these. And that's not what he was expecting. And that gave me the time. That gave time for him to think. And once he starts to think, then he starts to worry about, is this the right decision that I'm making? And in that moment, it's really over. You know what I'm saying? It's how you move from there. You could, you know, just diffuse the whole situation after that. And that's what happened. And then I, you know what I'm saying? He ain't do shit. And I walked off. And from that moment, I was like, oh, shit. That was okay. And he's supposed to be a bad motherfucker. I bet. All right. And so I learned I ain't had to really fight. So that one, that first little advice in fighting took me a long way. And I never had to use the headbutt, bite the nose off shit. But I got that bitch tucked and ready.
You know, it's not even tucked. That shit is at the top of the toolbox.
You know what I'm saying? That shit is ready. Like, I ain't starting no, like, you know what I'm saying? I ain't starting no shit. But my grandma, like my grandma say, don't start nothing. But if they started with you, you better finish it.
Yeah.
So that's how I mean, I'm cool. I ain't about no all that shit. I'm going to use my Jedi mind trick first. And if that don't work, then shit. There it is.
Yeah, it's been a minute since I fought. But my one of my, I had a couple theories or a couple plans of action. One of my things is... You better, if you go, if you know you about to fight, you gotta swing first. You got to get it cracking. Don't be the nigga waiting. Don't, even if, cause both motherfuckers oftentimes are scared, but don't let that motherfucker take advantage of your shit. You see it so often. Cause sometimes it only take, like, and what I will say this, if you do swing and connect, don't stop until niggas is pulling you up off of this motherfucker.
Right.
Don't stop. Don't be the motherfucker.
Don't stop until you hear somebody's like, don't kill him.
Yeah. Because it's 0 to 100. It's got to happen. Or in the bite his face off shit. My mom's just always saying, if a motherfucker bigger than you, you pick up some shit and you go upside they motherfucking head, you find some shit. So it's one of those where shit does not, it's not a fair fight at all. Niggas always say, that is rule number one. Ain't no fair ones.
Ain't no fair ones.
Like, no, ain't no, that is an illusion. That's a myth. That shit is fake. Lord, that shit is fake honor. Let's shoot the fair one. All right, nigga, you believe that. Trust
me.
You
better finish that shit.
This was not sanctioned. I told you, this shit is no governing body. Nigga, do not get your ass whipped is the key to the whole shit. But hopefully nobody got to get into no fights.
Nah.
You know what I mean? Hopefully we all peaceful as shit.
And
I hope we all live to hear another pod. And until then, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even an enemy.
To get in the conversation. Yeah.
The main thing of it all is to be in the conversation.